Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the mere mention of bats causes a lot of people's skin to crawl. But when you get beyond the misconceptions, you discover that there is far more to these nocturnal creatures than the typical stereotype. My next guests are embarking on a new project to try and learn more about bats in Ireland, and they need your help. Dr. Niamh Roach is from Bat Conservation Ireland, and Professor Emma Teeling is from University College Dublin. You're both very welcome.
Thanks very much. Great to be on, Casey.
Okay. Niamh, can I ask you first, can we just deal with some of the myths around bats? Because
sure.
I do think they do get a raw deal.
They certainly do. I mean, considering how they are associated with Halloween and Dracula and all this kind of thing, really, in actual fact...
And COVID now.
Well, COVID is another thing, yeah. But, you know, I suppose in northwestern Europe, we have this strong cultural association with them, you know, in terms of being sort of evil or whatever, and sucking your blood because of Dracula and all that. But in actual fact, in Ireland, we have 9 species of bat, and they're all insectivorous. So they're not interested in our blood in any sense. And also, they're really small. They're tiny. Our smallest bats, which are also our most common, with their wings folded up, they'll fit into a tiny little matchbox. And they only weigh about the same as a 1 or 2 euro coin. So they're really tiny. So they're not like, you know, sometimes you see the horror movies and they've got all these big fruit bats, which of course wouldn't be interested in drinking your blood either, but they're huge in comparison to ours.
I didn't realise, actually, they're that small that they could actually fit into a matchbox.
Yeah, our most common ones, pipistrelles, only weigh about 5 grams. So really, really tiny.
And where do they live?
So in Ireland, you know, most of our big old veteran trees have been cut down, so we don't have so many of those anymore. So they have now availed of the nice warm attics and barns and sheds that we've constructed, because those give them nice warm conditions in order to have their baby in the summertime. So that's generally where we tend to encounter bats, is in our own buildings. But they do still roost in trees, in, say, crevices of in trees and rot holes in trees. They can also be found under bridges, you know, old stone bridges like the, ruined castles. You know, those are the kind of stereotypical things. But most often when people come across bats, they're in, you know, dwelling houses or sheds or barns.
When you said, you mean people are actually living in homes with bats living in their attic?
I have bats in my own attic, roof space, I should say, here too. Yeah. And it's a modern house, so it's not necessarily in old houses. My house is only 15 years old or thereabouts. And yeah, we have bats roosting in the attic here most summers, because, you know, it's all about the fact for them, they're looking for somewhere nice and warm in the summer.
Well, I know, and fair
warm.
Play to them.
I'm
considering moving house if there's bats.
Into our living space, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be a bit squeamish about the idea of bats roosting in their
house. Well, you know, Katie, I agree. There are always going to be people who are squeamish about it, but I have to say that, you know, from Bat Conservation Ireland's perspective, you know, we started running volunteer schemes, volunteer-led schemes, you know, where we were monitoring bats back in 2003. And in actual fact, we've been really surprised by the amount of people who have just such a huge interest in bats, you know, in wildlife in general, but in, you know, are happy to go out and do a survey of a night, spend a couple of evenings in their summer walking a river, detecting bats. And so, you know, there's a huge amount of interest in bats, fascination there that, you know, you might not expect. Especially when, you know, you see all the media stuff about them being negative, you know, being negative about them.
Okay, I'll try and be more positive. talk to me about this research project now. It's a citizen science project. So what are you looking for people to do?
So basically, we're calling on people to be citizen scientists. So anybody who has bats in their attic or bats in a shed or a barn that they know about, we're basically asking them to lay down some newspaper, leave it for a couple of days, and basically go in then and collect up the newspaper and send us some bat droppings. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. So, yeah. And just to explain to people, what do bat droppings look like?
Yeah, so it's not, we're not talking about something like a dog or a cat here, right? We're talking about really tiny droppings that are hard, and they consist basically of the, you know, the outer, the exoskeleton of insects, because those are the indigestible bits. So they look very like a mouse dropping, but you know if they're a bat dropping because mouse dropping is hard, whereas a bat dropping, if you press against it, it'll turn into dust. So that's made out of all the little tiny pieces of, you know, say the bits of beetle, elytra, or the wings of the insects that they eat. So it's hard. And so that's actually got DNA in it. And so when Emma, who you're going to talk to as well, who's on the phone there, when they analyse it in the lab in UCD, they'll be able to figure out what the bats have been eating.
Okay, well, let's bring Emma in then, yeah. So yeah. These droppings will be sent on to UCD. Professor Emma Teeling, welcome again.
Yeah, good morning everybody. You've been great listening to you all. I'm on a family vacation at the moment and I've snuck off. Let's hope everything stays quiet.
Right, okay.
So the idea with all of this is in the droppings, so again, our Irish bats are insectivorous. They're feeding on insects, and you're very lucky if you have a bat raised in your house, because the chances are you don't have mosquitoes biting you as much as you could if you didn't have the bat roost there. So they are natural regulators of insects. And what we're able to do in the lab, and what we really want the people of Ireland to do, is help us collect these droppings. Because in the droppings, in bat poop, there's lots and lots of information. And back in my lab, working with PhD student Gwynelle Herpy, master's student James Nolan, we developed these methods that taking these little tiny mouse-sized droppings, bringing them back into the lab that the citizen scientists of Ireland are going to collect, we are going to go and amplify and sequence the unique genetic code of everything that that bat has eaten that's contained in that dropping. Now, what that's going to allow us to do is identify what are the insects that the Irish bats are eating. And that will allow us to work out, are our Irish bats eating pest insects, for example? Are they eating midges that could possibly contain Zika virus? That if those midges bite us, we get sick. Hence, the bats are helping protect us. Are they eating different types of insects that could potentially carry viruses and diseases that if they bite our livestock, our horses, our cattle, our sheep, are actually going to go make them sick? So again, the bats will eat these pest insects. Are they also feeding on insects that are biting our crops, giving disease to our crops, such as aphids? And so what they've estimated, they've worked out, in America alone, one single species of bat, if you were to remove them, if we were to remove these bats from the ecosystems, these Tetarida brasiliensis, if anybody's in Texas, you've seen them under the bridges, it will cost the US taxpayer $22 billion a year in the cost of insecticides, in the cost of what humans have to do to play the role that bats do. So bats are as important as bees. Bees pollinate. The bats regulate our insects. And so what we're trying to do is firstly work out using this new state-of-the-art DNA technology. What are the insects that are found in bat poop? We can also then look at the genetic health of the bats themselves, because their DNA is also found in that. We can work at, are our populations increasing? Are they decreasing? If you're interested in what bats are found in your house or in your local area, we can come and tell you that as well. But this is also another way that we can go and monitor what type of insects and arthropods do we actually have in Ireland at the moment. Now, this is really, really important. There was a study just done, a famous study in Germany, where they worked out that there's been an 80% decrease in insect biomass in the past 20 years. Now, what that means is that we are losing our biodiversity. We are losing the very things that allow us to maintain a healthy, balanced ecosystem. And we can collect these droppings, we can get a baseline of what actually insects are around, what are present, what are the bats eating. And we can do this without having to kill all these insects. So before, typically in zoology and UCD, you'd have to go out and you'd catch the moths in the light trap. Beautiful moths, but they would have to be killed to be able to identify them. Now we don't have to do that. The bats have eaten them. So we don't have to go and kill a bunch of different insects to work out what is our native biodiversity. We can get this information from poop.
Okay, I mean, we're getting a lot of texts in on this, and a lot of people have bats in their attic, it turns out. We have bats that come out of the next door extension roof every night. Dozens of them, says Deirdre. Another caller, another texter says, we have bats in our roof space. Are they safe to leave there, considering all the droppings all over the years? And they're offering to collect droppings for you. I take it you say they are safe to leave there, Emma?
Yes. So what we do, again, Niamh can talk about this. We have a video that has been made about how you collect these droppings. They need to be fresh. So for the DNA, first to be able to extract the DNA, the droppings actually need to be fresh. The dried ones won't work. They're safe to keep there, but Bat Conservation Ireland can really inform you about what to do if you've got too many droppings or how to work on that.
Okay. And participants, if you're interested in this, you can learn more at batsandbugs.ie. That's batsandbugs.ie. Fascinating, fascinating project. I want to thank Dr. Niamh Roach and Professor Emma Teeling there for bringing us that. And coming up after this, we'll be talking about true crime.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.